Well, it is considered the world's most invasive mosquito, and recently it popped up on the Australian mainland for the first time outside of an entry port. Looks as though that one's been jumped on very quickly, and hopefully the Asian tiger mosquito has spread no further than the site it was detected near Bumiga. But it definitely has been on the march around the world, where its aggressive daytime biting has even seen it christened the barbecue stopper. Nuisance value aside, it's also a vector for serious human illness, including dengue fever. Associate Professor Tessa Knox is the director of the PAC-MOSI Consortia with James Cook University, which she's going to tell you a little bit more about soon. But first, I asked Tessa about whether this recent find near Bumiga was a concern from a public health perspective.
It is a difficult mosquito to control. It has a high risk of incursion because it hitchhikes on international trade, like in used tire shipments, to arrive in new areas. When it arrives, it can then exploit a vast range of different habitats, from small to large water bodies, tires, pot plant sources, roof gutters, discarded bottles. And then once it's established itself, it can then feed on a range of different hosts to get its blood meal to nourish its eggs. And that, of course, includes humans. But it also seems to be a bit more adapted to cooler and more variable temperatures. And this is why it's really expanded its range into more temperate zones and higher altitudes in the last 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, if you don't mind just walking us through what we've seen with the expansion of the footprint of the Asian tiger mosquito. As its name would suggest, it's endemic ordinarily to Southeast Asia. But where has it spread to around the world?
It's spread into many different zones. In the Pacific, we've seen it increasingly in a number of countries, and we have recently also detected its presence in Tonga and Fiji, where it's been known, but we're seeing it now in higher numbers at particular times of the year than we would expect.
Why is there a concern around this mosquito? There are hundreds of mosquito species in Australia alone. Only a few of them present human health problems or challenges. What's the concern with this mosquito if it is to become endemic?
I think the main concern is that this could essentially bring more mosquito-borne diseases further south. So while a lot of the dengue transmission had historically been contained to northern Queensland, it may mean that now this mosquito, which is more adapted to colder climates, could spread down south and then represent a risk to those populations of dengue, of chikungunya, of Zika, potentially Ross River, and may also be a potential vector for Japanese encephalitis.
With dengue fever in particular, we've done a relatively good job of ensuring that it's no longer a yearly problem in the wet season in northern Queensland, and that's largely due to the effectiveness of Wolbachia, a native bacteria that has been introduced or modified within the Aedes aegypti species and then released, and those mosquitoes aren't transmitting dengue in the way they once did. With albopictus, though, is it a whole new ballgame if it gets into Australia when it comes to dengue fever?
There have been very effective programs that have been run, particularly in North Queensland, using Wolbachia, and the concern is that technology wouldn't apply to Aedes albopictus. So while it's effective against Aedes aegypti, which has been historically the main driver of dengue outbreaks in North Queensland, for example, that does not extend to protection against Aedes albopictus. We just don't have the technology developed to an extent to be able to distribute and ensure that the mosquitoes have their Wolbachia as well to protect against dengue transmission.
They call it the barbecue stopper in different parts of the world because it's such a aggressive daytime biter. In the areas where you're involved in surveillance with the consortium, are you getting any insight into the impact it's having on life?
We're not sure about the nuisance problem that's represented, so the nuisance biting problem by albopictus specifically. It's really hard because an individual won't report back to the Ministry of Health and say, I was bitten by an albopictus mosquito. So we can't really separate the different species based on what reports are coming from the public. But what we do know is that there have been dengue outbreaks that have been driven in the Pacific largely by Aedes albopictus. And so while, of course, nuisance biting is an annoyance, it's more the public health concern from this mosquito and that it represents an additional risk to what was already there.
Hearing here from Associate Professor Tessa Knox, a medical entomologist with James Cook University. You and the university are actually involved in some really interesting work in the broader Pacific area that's dealing with mosquitoes. Can you tell us a little bit more about that work?
So I'm the director of the PACMOSI Consortium, which partners seven institutes in across four countries with the 21 Pacific Island countries through the Ministries of Health. So we work with our colleagues in the Ministries of Health to ensure that the approaches that they're using, the tools that are available to them, are the most effective for mosquito control. And that's mainly to control diseases like dengue, chikungunya, Zika, and also malaria.
We're heading into what looks like a likely El Nino weather pattern for the Southern Pacific. What impact might that have on albopictus movement and disease transmission?
Well, an El Nino would be decreased rainfall and moving into a dry period. And you would think that might reduce the mosquito populations, but actually it could have a counter effect, which is people start to store their water more at the household level, particularly if they don't have a reliable water supply, which is the case in a lot of Pacific Island communities. So as they increase the storage of that water in anticipation of shortages in a dry spell, it may increase the proliferation of these mosquitoes in and around their households. And that essentially increases their risk of being exposed to transmission if the viruses are introduced into that community.
Has there almost been a sense of inevitability about the arrival of the Asian tiger mosquito? At the moment, it's just the six individual animals that were found in the one trap near Bumaga, and there's been widespread spraying and surveillance done. So they're trying to determine at the moment whether there is indeed more of these mosquitoes or whether they captured them just before they became established. But is there almost a sense of inevitability about this mosquito becoming endemic, given just how effective it's been at invading other parts of the South Pacific?
I think that Queensland Health, for example, are doing the right things. I think they've responded very rapidly to this. I think the fact that it was even picked up, it gives us a much better opportunity for containment and to try to, you know, crush that at the source before it does spread further. So I don't know about inevitable. I think we have faith that our control measures will be having an effect, but it is a challenge, definitely, and it does require ongoing vigilance.
That's James Cook University Associate Professor Tessa Knox, Director of the PACMOSI Consortia.